Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck and Julie. Chuck remote working from his office today. I want to give everybody a warning, medical warning. You need to go take your blood pressure pills, because if you haven't today, what you're going to hear on this show today is going to make your blood boil. Thank you for listening. I want to thank our guests, our sponsors, us, ColoradoCitizenPress.com and Cenogenics. Want to jump right into this. People know there was this big law enforcement appreciation day rally, the 6th annual, in Denver over the weekend. We were there. Lots of people were there. And to make a long story short, the cops basically stood by while the Antifa thugs swarmed the place, punched me. We got Ron McLaughlin, the founder and the organizer, with us, who was injured. But something else even more shocking came out today in terms of the police action. We've got 710 CanUS talk show host Peter Boyle's on to talk about that. But first, Ron, let me say thank you to you for your time.
You let me on a little bit, Julie.
Oh, go, you can. Oh, Chuck, you go. Yeah. Oh, Chuck's remote, so he doesn't get to talk.
Yeah, I don't get to talk. I'm sunlit, which just shows my spiritual nature. But I've just finished up an editorial demanding the resignation or firing of Paul Pazin, the police chief. He has really disgraced himself, not just at the rally, but when he came on Stephen Tubbs' show, and then went on Dick Kaplis' show, in which he just lied. He just lied and lied and lied. Said that Randy Corcoran, all at fault. That the rule today in Denver is that if you have an event, you must supply your own private army and you must battle it out in the streets if you're going to talk. I mean, he's basically installing Berlin rules in the 1920s, and he's just a dishonest hack. He just honest hack that deserves, it's almost quasi-criminal what he's up to.
You know, and let me, Ron, I'm going to have you hang on for a second, because I know Peter's got to go. But Peter, can you tell us, we could see the police, we were there, the police, and we'll play some video in a little bit that'll show you exactly this. The police did nothing while the mob rushed. Me and Michelle Malkin, Deborah Flores from 710 CanUS is trying to hold the flag. She's getting hit, I'm getting hit, Michelle's getting hit. Cops did nothing. But it was worse than that, Peter. This is what you found out on your show today with Union President Nick Rogers and Michelle Malkin, right?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody, Chuck and everybody. This is a story that, as we speak, is still, we know this much, and this is since 9 o'clock this morning. The on-site commander is a woman policewoman. The lieutenant, and this is important, who stood his ground and disobeyed orders, is a SWAT lieutenant. It's a male. There were people that were at that rally that I've spoken to, and it may have happened to any one of you three, that officers came up to you guys and said, we're retreating, we're leaving,
right,
and we're giving you a 5-minute warning. Did any of the three of you get that warning?
Peter, no. This is Julie. We left right before, but I talked to Jan Cook, who filled in for us on Monday, and she heard it. She said the officer turned to her and said, you guys, just so you know, they're pulling us out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But that was late in the rally. If the SWAT office...
Right.
Was disobeying. That's way earlier.
Go ahead, Ron. Ron, jump in.
At one point, I was asked by a lieutenant that was there. It was a male lieutenant, mm-hmm, to go up into the side where we had all of our guys. If you're looking at, I'm looking from the stage out on the left-hand side of the amphitheater, was where a lot of the Patriots were. And he had asked me, this is after I'd been hit and I'd bandaged and whatnot. He had asked me if I would go up and get some of those people out of there because they were preparing to pepper spray or tear gas. And he didn't want me, any of our Patriots, to experience that.
Right.
And that's.
But what time was that, Ron? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I wasn't exactly checking my clock.
Okay. Well, that would have been
about 35, 40 minutes into the fiasco. Yeah.
Yeah. And Peter, I know you're going to let go, so we'll ask you one more question. What do you make of all of this? What do you think about this?
Well, I want to make this, the phone's blown up. I want to make it clear that the best of my understanding, and that when, and I actually Mandy Connell was playing our show on KOA this morning, which is big meaning. And then she and I, I've never spoken to her before, but we're texting one another now.
Right.
Because the mayor appeared on KOA yesterday. And it, she doesn't have to say it. The mayor is struggling with the truth. He's not telling the truth. And in fact, her defense of the mayor was, well, people are giving him wrong information. I don't believe that either. And I said that to her.
No.
What has happened is the wheels have come off, principally because the hero of this day is Nick Rogers. Nick Rogers is the union president. He's been a longtime friend. He was very helpful in our fight against heroin injection, very helpful in the fight against the right to rest. I spoke with Nick on Monday after this whole thing came apart. And Nick said, well, let me investigate. He called me and he said, and I don't want to share what he said, but in essence, you know, this was, he was embarrassed as a police officer. And then I asked him if he wanted to speak with Michelle Malkin. And apparently in full, you know, in transparency, they spoke yesterday, just the two of them on the phone for 40 minutes privately. And they both came on a radio show this morning. And I know more now than I did then, but it was emotional. They both cried.
Wow. 710canus.com, everybody. You can check Peter's podcast.
Coming on tomorrow. I don't want to belabor this, but long story short, and anybody that understands cops or paramilitary, I do not believe the site commander, identified as a woman, as a policewoman, gave on her own, gave the let's go.
No.
And in fact, the lieutenant, I believe the SWAT lieutenant, I am told this, ignored the order and said, we're staying. And if they had not stayed, according to my sources, and you guys were there, I wasn't, although everybody got hurt, things would have been worse. And so now the story, here's my check. The story went to KOA this morning, and good for Mandy. That showed me a lot of heart that she took the story. The next thing is, and Chuck, you and I talked about this, we all talked about it, will this be on Channel 9 tonight? Will this be in the Denver Post? Will it be on Channel 7, Channel 4? Will they pick it up that they're really showing?
Will it be on Complete Colorado?
Will it make Complete Colorado? Boy, there's openers. There's openers. Right. Very good.
All right. Hey, listen, Peter, I know you got to go, so we'll let you go. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, we'll bring you back.
Thanks, guys. And the best to everybody. You guys did great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Boyle, stop.
Yo.
Stop stalking. Randy. Stop stalking me.
There, Randy.
Hey. That used to be funny, huh?
Hey, so that's Randy Corbin. We've got Ron here. But, Ron, before we say, have anybody else talk, I want to play some video. People can see, if you can see Ron and you're on Zoom, he's got like a cut above his eye. He looks pretty clean now, although it looks kind of nasty. Guys at BBS, if you could roll the video we sent, this is what happened Sunday. This is how that cut came to be. Like I said, they're the so-called peaceful protest.
Who was the cameraman for that one?
That was camera person. That was me. Hey, Ron, if you could explain what happened and how are you doing first off?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. It was simple. It was chaos and mayhem. I saw Randy out there trying to break a few things up. We had people coming on the stage. The stage had been breaking down at that point. The lead singer was trying to get his motorcycle through the crowd to get out of there. And I saw he was having some difficulties, so I went down to help clear the path for him to get out. We got into sort of a pushing, shoving, mosh pit kind of a situation. And next thing I know, I get clobbered in the head with, I think it's a skateboard, but it came pretty quick. And as I pulled up from that, another guy started hitting me on the top of the head. And from what I've been told, it was a megaphone. Somebody else said it was another kind of apparatus. I never did get a good hold of a guy. I wish I could have.
Yeah.
But what's important is that that we got the bike out and we got Lowe out of there so we can go on where he had to go. I came back up, but just put a band-aid on it, went right back out. I mean, these are people there that are there to support us, our police and the people there. There's no way you can let them hang. So it is what it is.
And Randy and Chuck, obviously, this kind of guy, this is a whole like media wild technology thing we got going here. Feel free to jump in. Two questions, though, for you, Ron. Number one, what do you think about what happened? The Antifa thugs swarming like that and not even letting us hold the rally you've held there for 5 years. And then second, this news, and Randy, maybe you have to get going, you can weigh in on this first. This news about that we now know from Nick Rogers that the cops are ordered to retreat.
As far as what went on over there?
Yeah.
It's shameful. Absolutely shameful. If you'll look at my actual paperwork, nowhere on my paperwork does it say that I had to provide security for the event. Not in one section at all. Not to say that there wasn't security there, because there was, but not to the extent that would need it for that many people to come through.
Ron, I mean, I listened to the shameful, and I say shameful, if not criminal, discussion on the Stephen Tubbs show when he claimed that, one, you told him there'd be 200 security guards there. I'm not sure if you listened to the show, but he said, promised him 200 security guards, which is, of course, ludicrous. But the rules he was setting up was that in Denver, it's Berlin rules of the 1920s. If you want to protect your rally, you need to provide, apparently, according to the police chief, you need to provide your own army to battle it out on the streets. And that's the rules he's setting up. And if the police will not protect people peacefully assembling while they're attacked, maybe BLM is right. You don't need a police force for traffic stops. You need when you're attacked by thugs. And apparently, to this police chief, that's the rules. I have a feeling if you did supply enough of them, you'd be arrested for something else. I mean, it's disgrace. I mean, Paul Pitt is a quasi-criminal in my mind.
Well, when I was speaking on Saturday with one of the police officers that contacted me, we talked about what kind of numbers I was looking at, any organizations that I might have there to help support for protection. And it's ironic that every single organization that I mentioned that I thought might be there was a no-show.
Oh.
That I find to be fascinating. I feel like we've been completely hoodwinked across the board. I believe that when Payson, and literally on Thursday prior, said, I'm begging you, Ron, please reconsider to do this. And we were talking at that point about how do we go forward if we allow the thugs and the bullies to have the park.
Right.
How's that possible?
Right.
It isn't. And so we hung up. Everything was fine. I spoke to him the next day. That's before Randy spoke to him to specifically talk to him about security. That's what Randy's phone call was for at that point. And you can ask Randy how that went when you get to Randy on this. I believe that basically Payson, I don't even want to call him chief, to be honest with you. I'm so disgusted with his actions. He doesn't deserve the title, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But Payson, I believe he literally, specifically, was upset because he did not get what he wanted. So he just let the floodgates go and let it happen just to teach us a lesson. And I just can't stand for that.
I agree with you, Ron. Randy, what you want to jump in here?
Well, clearly during my conversation with, I don't call him Payson, I call him Brazen Coward. He did not want to talk about a safety plan for us. He wondered, what we had in mind, how many people. I thought if everything went according to plan, we could have as many as a couple hundred bikers there, and thousands of people had been checking in on the Facebook page. So we thought we might have a Parker-sized turnout,
Right.
Like we had at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday in Parker. But never did he talk about it. I even mentioned during the conversation how we worked things out with the ICE facility. The bad meeting that we had with Michelle and with when the police stood around. And then the second one that was much, much larger and 100% safe for everybody. He didn't want to talk about any of that. And so that video you played, I was checking on Ron and I was screaming in his ears that the cops are wanting to get the bikes out. They're only going to come down if we all agree to leave at the same time. And he was giving me the go ahead to pull the plug. And I go talk to this lady cop who I think was the woman who was in charge of the detail. That's who I was directed to. And she said, she had said earlier that, well, the domestic terrorists, my words, have their First Amendment rights also.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
So they had, just like in Aurora the first time, they had apparently gotten instructions that the protesters, the domestic terrorists, had as much right to be there as we did. And that was the point she was making. And then when it all hell broke loose and we finally agreed to shut it down, she said, we're not coming out there until you're all ready. All of the bikers that were there are ready to leave.
And you know, Randy, here's the thing. I was punched, right? So First Amendment right does not involve punching people. First Amendment right does not involve attacking Ron with a skateboard. And you know what? That is such a lie on the part of Denver police. I covered the DNC convention in 2008, right? They didn't say, oh, all the protesters have as much right to overwhelm the Democratic National Convention as everybody else. They didn't say that. They set up areas just like they did at Aurora. They had it very strictly controlled. Everybody got to exercise their rights, but people didn't get attacked, and people could, you could hear the one side, you could hear the other side. That's just, it makes me so angry. And I agree with Ron. I think the cops did that to try to show us, to say, here's what happens to anybody who doesn't cave into the mob if they try to come to Denver.
Well, there's no question about it. And the interview that Peter had this morning with Michelle and Nick was phenomenal. It really opened up some additional avenues of inquiry that we have. And we, as a law firm, on behalf of Michelle Malkin and Ron McLaughlin and Pro Police Rally, and I'm getting input and contact information from people who were injured. I should probably add you to the list. I know you're okay, but you were hit.
Right.
That's still an assault. And so we will be moving forward to get information. I'm actually working on contacts as Republican National Committee man to be in touch with the Justice Department, with Homeland Security, and others. I think it's possible that Denver could become a focal point, even greater maybe than Portland, because those other cities don't have an admission from someone deep inside the police force that there was, in fact, a retreat order.
Right. Well, in those other cities, they were attacking police departments, right, and precincts, and they weren't attacking other citizens. Here it was there. I mean, you know, I was saying, and obviously Ryan and Chuck and everybody are we in, but, you know, I could not believe that this was happening in Denver when those people came in and it was clear they were going to storm us, right? And it got me and Michelle Malkin and Deborah Flores, and I'm the biggest one of all of them, right? We're standing there and we're the front line, and the cops don't care. Those people just went through. They knocked people over. They attacked the band. I couldn't believe it, Ron.
I think that it's even deeper than that. When you look at what's going on here in Denver, which Randy was making a great point about it being the people themselves. When you look online, you're going to see Antifa and protesters or protesters. What a word! Anarchists. Fighting with the police. You're going to see, you might even see a member of a motorcycle group or a militia group fighting with some Antifa. It's a lot different when you see the police standing by and watching this mob overtake a legally assembled group of people that are just us. It's just, you know, normal people. We're not sitting there with a whole bunch of guns on our backpacks and you know, we're not a militia.
We're not in tanks.
No, we're human. We're the guys that go to work 9 to 5 and work our butts off and take care of our families. We represent those guys. Now, what really bothers me even more than what happened on Sunday is that when Pays and his people told me that 76 of our police officers from May 28th until now have been injured. That bothers me.
Yeah.
When he told me that anywhere from 30 to 300 people go out every single night and terrorize different neighborhoods in our city, that bothers me. That these people have not been rounded up and put away to be held accountable for what they're doing. And yet the people who pay the taxes, that work hard, that build the city, those are the ones that are allowed to be terrorized by these people. This is nothing peaceful. This is not a protest. This is anarchy. And we have to look at it for what it is and deal with it for the way we have to. And maybe it takes, like Randy said, something to happen in a community like ours to actually maybe get the ball rolling that'll help get other communities to stand up as well. And if you really want to take control of a snake, you got to cut off its head. And in this case, that's going to be Hancock.
How much publicity do you think we're going to get out of this? I mean, that show this morning was incredible in Peters with a union chief saying that in order to back down. That's been covered almost nowhere. Gateway funded did it, but the Denver Post won't cover it. You know, everybody, you really are. There is no rules in society anymore. And the thugs have taken over and they occupy City Hall. They occupy the governor's mansion. They allow the city capital to look like a transient home. I mean, I'm not sure what the strategy is going to be because they cheated the electoral system with ballot harvesting. So I'm really scratching my head wondering what is the right answer? What is the counter answer?
Oh, Randy's raising his hand.
They control the streets, they control the courts, they control everything. This is Germany in the 30s, except the Democratic Party controls all the levers of power.
Yeah. Randy Corcoran, your turn.
Well, I do think it's possible that this story will continue to grow, especially if we can get the Justice Department and Homeland Security involved. Ken Cuccinelli retweeted Michelle Malkin the same night with some of the video she had of the BLM woman who had the folding baton. She snapped into place. So we're going to keep working on that. We are going to pursue litigation. We have filed to order them to preserve all evidence. We sent a spoliation letter. All of those things are underway right now. But it's just up to the people to continue to not let this story die. And you, as you know, Julie, I'm down at a meeting of business owners in Colorado Springs, so I'm going to need to check out. There's one of the things I want to say to you guys, but I will be happy to answer any last couple of questions before I bail, if you have them.
Okay. Well, let me first.
Wait a minute. I do. Did you listen to those interviews by Pazin where he blamed you and everyone else for all the things, saying the police did a great job, they fought back everyone, and it was all your fault? It was one of the more disgusting statements by a duplicitous, devious coward.
It is, but it was terrific. I can't believe that he went on Dan Kaplis and Stephen Tubbs shows and put all that on the record.
Yeah.
And then to have the trigger of this Nick Union police guy come out and tell the truth about what's going on. I just think these are tipping points and turning points that certainly in history could go either way. Mm-hmm. But the Patriots and the, you know, there are folks down here at this business meeting who are bikers and musicians and know the musician that had his equipment damaged. They're ready to take to the streets. Obviously, I'm going through the legal process, but those folks in a street fight don't stand a chance. They're not organized. They weren't trained fighters. They outnumbered us and overran us, and we will never, ever let that happen again.
No, absolutely. I agree with you, Randy. You know, they were like, Chuck, you should tell, you had a quick conversation or something. These were just, I was saying to you, it's like, these are a bunch of young punks, right? Who are just mob followers. I mean, Chuck, tell them the conversation.
Well, the police put up their, porous little one. I kind of rushed in to fill the gaps and one was coming for me. And it's just this pathetic little millennial. I said, how's it at your mother's basement? How's that going for you? He says, what's wrong with that?
In the midst of all of this chaos, I want to leave you guys with a very happy story.
Okay.
As you know, Michelle Malkin was quite threatened. I mean, that woman with the folding baton was right next to her. And we had special security on board there, thanks to Joe Altman and DCF Guns and Patrick Neville. And we got her whisked out of there, but she was whisked out without one of her shoes, one of her sandals.
Did you find a shoe?
And thank the good Lord, one of the participants brought me the shoe. And I went to Michelle's house on my way down here to my meeting in Colorado Springs. And I told her that I'm from the Amazon shoe delivery service and that George Soros and Jeff Bezos send their regards. And I was able to return her mindset back to Michelle.
There was a silver lining to the
whole. There was a silver lining. I'm sorry I have to leave you guys.
Randy, thank you, though. Thank you as always. Thanks, we still have with us Ron McLaughlin, who was the founder of the Pro Police Rally. You know, and Ron, can you talk a little? One of the things I noted too is, you know, they didn't want you to hold it there because it might get violent. And my question to the cops, and I guess I'm asking you, is, you know, what do they think happens when they let the police, when they let those people attack us? Because what happened is after we all left, then the same thugs attacked the cops. They surrounded the cop cars. They weren't going to let the cops leave either. And that's when the cops had to get the tear gas out. So I don't know what they think they accomplished when they let the mob rule.
That's what they accomplish. They accomplish mob rule. When you're walking hand in hand with Black Lives Matter down the street, as your chief of police, while they're torching your village, how is that a win? When you're talking about, where's the compromise here? Why would there be a compromise? And it's real simple, it's ideology. Either you are, in our society right now, it's real simple. The split is not so difficult to see. It's either gonna be capitalism or communism. You can call it anything else you want. It is. They're a Marxist organization that is hell-bent on tearing down this country. Now, if that's not a terrorist organization, what is? And yet, so you have different, and they call it Democrat, Republican, but really it's capitalism and communism.
I think that's a great point, and it really does come down to that. And if you want to live in Venezuela, you're going to have the opportunity to.
I suggest you just move to Venezuela because we're not done yet. We're just getting started. I actually believe that right now, more than any other time in my life, and I'm 56 years old, at this point right now, if you do not choose to stand, then by default, you are choosing to stand down. And if we choose that, we will lose this country.
I agree.
We're an election away from that because the system that control everything now, the only hope you have, and I don't know how much of it is that you can get the Justice Department, Homeland Security, and all. If Biden takes over that, there ain't anything left.
I don't think, listen, Ron, we'll let you go. We got Casper Stockham coming up. Thank you for your time. We'll stay in touch. We are there if you need us, so let us know. We'll be there. You know, I agree with you. We cannot stand down.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for the time and for the work you're doing and getting this out there. The point about getting the information out, just real quick, we all have friends all over this country. We all have Facebook. I mean, I was just talking to a friend of mine in Jersey who had no idea this was going on, but now he's placing this stuff out there for people to see. I got my brothers doing it in California. If you take the time to get to your people and spread this around, it might be the only avenue we get because ABC, CBS, and NBC are not going to help us.
All right.
Facebook isn't going to help us if they find out about it. So
we've got to try.
I had 4,000 views on my thing. So, Ron, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me read some comments real quick. You know, Sandra points out that, you know, the First Amendment says you can peacefully assemble, right? Then Mark says, hey, I think the BLM and Antifa people knew they would not be stopped or arrested from DPD in advance. Moreover, they could terrorize unaware peaceful protesters. Violence on their part's okay, and they have no chance of prosecution. And then Karen Cannelling, regarding the shoe comment, says, Michelle Malkin is Cinderella. Does that make Payson the wicked stepmother? Maybe it makes him the pumpkin. I don't know. Ron, thank you very much. You can go ahead.
Thank you.
Casper there, but before we bring Casper up, I want to play, because I was standing there right next to Michelle Malkin, like I said, when the crowd rushed. Hey, and if our producers at BBS, if you could play that second video that I sent you, that this would be a good time for that.
Here's some Johnny Cash for you. Let's start it off.
Come on.
Julie.
Go ahead. It's like, well, you know, one thing, you saw that girl, she's screaming, get your hands off me, get your hands off me. That's a tactic. We were not touching her, right? Yeah, she was the one who punched me, and she was trying to hit Michelle Malkin. And you saw she had that can of the silly string that they were spraying too, which they do that. That may sound, it's silly string. No, if you're a SWAT cop and you've got all your gear on and you don't know what's coming and all of a sudden stuff is spraying at you, they do that to provoke reactions. They do that to scare people. And again, the whole
Kyle Clark found that enormously amusing.
Right. And I mean, she's screaming.
Another sick character.
She's screaming, get your hands off me. She was the one who was punching. Casper, you were standing right next to me through some of that. Thank you for coming on now. GOP candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. You were right there. Your take on this whole thing.
Well, it started out very peaceful, as you guys know, and it quickly turned into something much different. So at the very beginning, when the band started playing and I saw them swarming around, I actually went to the steps off to the, if you're looking out, I was at the steps off to the right, trying to stop them from coming down the steps into the area. And I did that for a while, a couple of minutes, but that was kind of futile because they were going around and going up the stair, up the, on the bleachers and then going over. So then I came up on the stage. In fact, the last shot of the video you just had was the top of my head with my hat on. And I was up there next to you, Julie. And I said, Julie, I think you need to get back because they were like really getting aggressive. So I asked you to get back, but you know, you're like, nah, I'm going. Chuck was on the front lines. I was on the front lines and you were moving to the front line. I'm like, man, this is not going to end well.
What do you think? I mean, number one, I guess I have two kind of questions. We'll get to the police response in a second. But, you know, I kept saying, you know, hey, look, you can be anti-police. You can be whatever you want. And that's cool. We don't try to destroy and attack them at their rallies, right? It's like, no. Go do that. That's fine. The fact is that they didn't even want to let us speak. I mean, that's what this country has come to, where if you don't, you know, give in to the mob, they will make sure that you are hurt, that you are destroyed, that you can't even talk.
Yeah. And I wore my Trump hat intentionally on Sunday, and that was like a lightning rod. I mean, they were just not happy about me wearing my Trump hat. So I've only had a couple pictures of me there so far and stuff. We're getting some of our media stuff put together, our videos and so forth. But I was standing on the stage and I was talking down to this young lady. She happened to be black and she was crying. And she said, you know, this is not God. This is not God. I'm saying, well, who's not God? Because you're on the wrong. If you're talking about God, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
And I said, what you're supporting is not God. And she said, no, this is God. And she's pointing to the Antifa people. And she said, this is God. This is God. I'm saying, no. And I said, you know, I love you. I said, but the guy next to you, now this is yelling, of course, big, you know, because
it's so loud.
It's loud. But I'm almost signing to her because she can't really hear me and I can't really hear her, but I can read her lips and so forth. And I'm saying, look, I love you, but the guy next to you does not. He does not love you. And I got his attention, so he started attacking me verbally. And I said, look, can I come down there? So then I went through the cops and I went down the steps to talk to this young man. I call him a young man because at first we were having a fairly decent dialogue. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we were yelling because
you had to.
But then we started having this dialogue and I said, look, he's talking about all these cops are bad. I said, no, only a small percentage. you know, you can't even tell me what the percentage is of cops that are bad. I said, most of them are good. I said, so what you're doing is not right. You're the cause. The reason why the black community is in the situation it's in is because of progressive liberals like you. I said, you're the problem. So eventually he got extremely frustrated, just cussed me out and then ran off. And then I came back upstage for a little while, but I didn't even realize that all the stuff was going on with Michelle and everything else.
Right.
And Patrick Neville and everything else. And then I eventually went off to the side, went down back into the crowd, but off to the side. And I was in my own little confrontation world because there were little pockets of stuff going on everywhere.
Right.
On stage, down in the area. And about that time is when Ron was trying to leave. Well, the motorcycles were trying to leave. And that's when Ron got hit. And then he went back up on stage and got bandaged up. But Ron stayed the whole time. I was there almost to the end. Ron was there trying to make sure people were safe. So, you know, the people that came at us were not peaceful protesters.
No, no,
at all. Protesters.
They were. Well, what do you think about the cop response? I've been as a reporter at bazillions of these. Right, I have never before seen a situation where the cops. I mean, I've seen, you know, back in the day when they had the KKK stuff. Right, yeah. The cops didn't let the people attack the KKK people. I have never seen a situation where the cops just stood there and let the one group, whether you agreed with them or disagreed with them, be attacked by the other group. Have you?
I've never seen that. Never seen that at all, you know, but they were literally allowing the other side to, well, they pushed us out of the whole area. They swarmed us and pushed us enough to get us out completely of the area because they had the numbers. And had we had better numbers, it would have been different. But I was down in the crowd and I was, somebody gave me some holy water. So I was taking holy water and kind of spread in the crowd. And they said, is that holy water? You know, what are you doing? You know, I said, hey, look, I wasn't even yelling at them. They were calling me all kinds of names.
Right.
They called me Uncle Tom and Coon and everything else. And they're banging the pots and pans. And I'm just sitting there smiling. I'm like, I'm doing the Nicholas Sandman deal. I'm just sitting there smiling,
right.
You know.
Well, it sounds like
I'd have to estimate that probably 90% of the BLM, 95% of the BLM Antifa were white young kids. And probably half of those were females.
Oh, yeah.
It was an amazing
group clearly,
of really vicious people. But you know, there weren't too many blacks. They're part of Black Lives Matters.
Well, no, I guess your life doesn't matter, Casper, huh? No. Your black life doesn't.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I did notice there were more this time, Chuck, because in previous pro-police rallies, there literally were no black BLM members. It was all white. And in fact, one time I told Ron to give me the mic because there were white BLM members. And I said, look, okay, does my black life matter? Because you know, you're harassing us. Obviously, my black life doesn't matter. But when I was down in the crowd and stuff, they tried to take my hat, you know, my Trump hat.
Right.
Knocked it off my head. And then I got even more animated because I said, look, you can yell and scream and pound your pots and pans all you want, but you can't touch me. You can't snatch a hat off my head. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah,
they're going to go. Who's going to stop us? Yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, Casper, where do we go from here? I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk. Do we do it again? I mean, I go back and forth on that, although I've come to my own conclusion. But your thoughts on what do we do? Where do we go from here?
I know what I'm going to do, and I'm very sad that there's no leadership in the Republican Party stepping up. I know we talked about this many times. I'll go back. If Ron said tomorrow we're going back to another rally, I'm going back, you know, and we need for the rank and file Republicans to at least, at the very least, put pressure on leadership to start speaking out about this. Because if they don't speak out, I mean, all the way from the top, if they're not speaking out about this, this is going to continue and it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
I hate to tell you, Casper, you cannot count on the Cory Gardners of the party or all the establishment people for the Republicans that continuously attack you, even though you're
their candidate.
You know, we've got to form a grassroots organization that does not depend upon the Monument Mafia and Both Ways Bob Beaupre and all the rest, because they're never going to support America.
I agree, Chuck, and I'm not relying on them because they've never supported me ever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but what I'm saying is that these other third-party organizations don't have the power that the party has. So we have to do like the Tea Party did back in 2010 and vote them out. We need to get them out of control.
But you have to understand, if you really look at it, why did the Tea Party succeed in addition to people being outraged? Is that people like the Koch brothers saw that they thought they could exploit it. And they poured tens of millions of dollars into Tea Party groups and Tea Party Express. The Tea Party went on because they were establishment Republicans who thought they could exploit it and use it. And without money coming either from the grassroots, you can try to do one that Bernie Sanders did. But politics is money, organization is money. And we've got to find, most of the Republican CEOs and all that are just semi-Democrats, hate America, globalist. And we're going to have to really put our thinking caps on to find some human beings, because you can't do it with no money. You really can't. People think that Tea Parties were just grew up by their own. No, the Koch brothers poured tens of millions of dollars in. They thought they'd explode it for their immigration policies and everything else.
But Chuck, I'm glad to hear you say, though, we need to find a solution. So you're becoming more positive.
You need to come up with one.
Well, until then, I'm going to keep fighting, and I just need people to stand shoulder to shoulder with me. I know you guys are on stage fighting with me. I was there, and we have to encourage our fellow American patriots to step up, put pressure on the party. Again, I'm with you, Chuck. The odds of them doing the right thing are about slim and none. Yeah. But we still have to put pressure on them, because if we don't put pressure on them, then they're gonna continue to get away with it. So we have to put the pressure on all the folks you mentioned. And I'm not gonna mention their names because I don't want it to turn into a soundbite, but leadership needs to step up. We all know who they are and they need to step up. So I'm going to be hopefully connecting up with Lauren Boebert out on the Western Slope. I'm here fighting it on the Eastern Slope, and maybe it's just us two for now. I don't know.
But we're there with you.
You need, in lieu of the present leadership, in lieu of the Monument Mafia, in lieu of everything else, you need to put together Lauren Boebert's fund. If we can, Randy Corcoran's as a patriot and a leader. Those are people we've got to promote, and you yourself. And forget the rest of them, because the Cory Gardeners of the world are going to hide as long as they can.
Yeah, I'm stunned by the lack of even comments from these folks. I mean, I think Cory did do a Facebook
post.
He did.
Minimal. Minimal.
Right. I mean,
cowardly. Minimal.
They're acting as if none of this is even happening.
No. He got another $25 for a natural resource grant for somebody.
Yeah. I'm like, our cities are burning, our citizens are suffering and dying and being beaten, and they're talking about China. Okay, China's important, but right now our streets.
But Cory loves. He's pro China. Cory is pro China. So go to his Facebook and go to his tweets and see what he's talking about on a day-to-day basis. It is a lesson to be learned.
Hey, Casper, listen, we got to let you go. Where can people, unless Chuck, do you have any more questions, or are we?
No, let's go.
Okay, Casper, because we want to help you and support you, not just like with podcast and Zoom, but where can people actually go and give you some financial help, some volunteer help?
Yeah. Well, I've got good news and stuff. We do have some money coming in. We have some meet and greets that I'll get the information out to you guys. Some meet and greet fundraisers we're planning here in August. August is going to be an extremely busy month, and Elbert Guillory is coming into town as well to help me. He's going to be on the ground campaigning with me here in Colorado. They can go to casperforcolorado.com. That's Casper, F-O-R, Colorado.com. They can donate. They can volunteer. We're looking for folks to hit the streets with us as far as handing out literature and having those conversations with folks. Perlmutter's in trouble because if I can force him, I'm going to have to force him to a debate. But if I can force him to come out of his basement, wherever he's at, and debate with me, it's over for Ed Perlmutter. So I'm excited to be able to do all that.
All right. Casper, thank you. It's good to see you. Hey, I'll go through my video. If I have any video of you, and I bet I do, I'll send it to you guys too, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, for the documentary. All right, Casper Stockham there. And so folks want to know, let me read some comments, but also want to let people know, if you're on Zoom and you want to comment, just go ahead and unmute your microphone and bring yourself up on the camera. If you want to call in, let me give you that number, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Chuck, let me read a couple of comments here. This is from Ben. I commend everyone who showed up armed with sound and reason arguments, prepared to engage in a debate with the left-leaning people. The only thing missing was having a good left hook in reserve. This is true. And then Mark says, if you look at any of the videos, you can see that the BLM and Antifa people draw their weapons. Several had expandable police-type batons. Many had long board stickers on banners. A few had brass knuckles covered with gloves. And I'm just getting started. He said, we need a big rally with security that knows what they're doing and how to minimize those terror acts. You know, I think Mark is right in that you could see that, because I kept thinking, and then it occurred to me, why? What are all these kids doing here with skateboards, right? That girl, she had the silly string, and you could see just people, there were certain people in the crowd, Chuck, I believe, whose role it was to incite violence. And
I don't think there's anybody there not to incite violence.
Yeah.
And you did notice how a lot of them had gloves on, but with the fingers cut off, and underneath the gloves, you know, were brass knuckles and everything else in the world. It was a violent, you know, thugs. I mean, that's all they were. And then you had the police. I mean, thank God for that one SWAT guy. Although it really, in the end, didn't make much difference.
No. And if people are just joining us, we had Peter Boyles on at the beginning, and he was talking about, you know, if you were at that rally, the one thing that you couldn't help but, because it was obvious, because we were clearly threatened by an aggressive and hostile crowd that stormed the stage that we had a permit for. Number one, the cops just let them storm it. They stormed it from the front and they stormed it from the back, right? And then it was just us trying to stand there and say, no, you can't come on our stage. I mean, you could forget about it. You could see Randy, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Randy was trying to, you know, keep people talking in it. But then they started throwing stuff at the band, and you had to take the band down or the microphone down. Eventually the cops came in, but they didn't push the people back. They didn't try to stop them.
They
let them just rush right on through. I don't know what
they would stand there. And then, and you know, unless there, you know, there was about a dozen of us that would kind of fill the gaps to try to stop them. But it's like they were a picket fence without the sideboards. I mean, they just,
right.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Well, and, you know, and again, 888-627-6008. I was, as I said, I've been to so many of these as a reporter, mostly. I have never seen the cops completely stand down like that. And to me, it is astonishing, as Randy pointed out, that you had Chief Pazin go out there and just blatantly lie. There was a part of me that was hoping that maybe he was just pressured into this by the mayor, right? And he'd just kind of say, I can't comment. But for him to lie, I don't know. That makes him a co-conspirator as far as I'm concerned in all of this.
He's a criminal co-conspirator. I mean, because he came on, and I thought Stefan did a good job, quite frankly. You always want him to be stronger, but he wants Pazin to come back. But he did a good job at saying, you know, you're just lying to us. You're just lying to us. To tell us that you guys went out there and stopped everybody, and then you used pepper spray. And, you know, you only use the pepper spray when everybody else was gone, and the thugs didn't have anybody else but the police to hit on, so they started hitting on them.
Right. They pepper sprayed to protect themselves, not the crowd.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
We've got a call. We've got Johnny from Colorado on line one. Hey, Johnny, thank you for calling in.
Now, I know you guys don't think of yourself this way, but I think of you guys as being the Nick Jagger and the Rolling Stone of Colorado. And the reason I say that, you guys, the reaction you guys get from these people, it's like a bunch of crazy fans trying to attack their maybe
the stage,
not so favorite rock star, but
yeah,
you guys really have to have security. I know you guys don't think of yourself as, oh, you're just, you know, I'm just Chuck. I'm just a regular guy that runs my business. I'm Julie Hayden. I'm the ex-reporter from Fox 31. But you guys really have to think of security, security around you, because you are our treasure.
Oh, my goodness, thank you.
I know you guys don't think of that. You are our treasure. I went down there to see you guys. I got there about 3:50. I said, wait a minute, it's no way I'm going to meet, you know, get a chance to bump fists with Chuck in this craziness.
Yeah.
And
what did you think of the whole thing?
Well, we were walking up there and we were talking to the police, and the police was saying, and my wife was saying, what do you suggest? I said, and she made me bring some lawn chairs.
Oh.
I said, that was the most terrible idea, because I would have went further in, but I said, well, they grab our lawn chairs, and then the fight is on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nope, it is. Hey, Johnny, thank you for calling. Oh, go ahead.
Well, God bless you guys. I just think you guys, protect yourself, because we love you guys.
Well, that's very nice of you, Johnny. Appreciate it.
All right. And I get a text here from my friend Robin, who says, why would we want to go support the cops of Denver when they don't support us? And he says, aren't the cops our security? That's true. We were driving home, and let's just say that sometimes I consider speed limits a guideline. And as I'm kind of looking around, to see what the speed limit was driving home, I actually turned Chuck to you and said this. I'm like, heck with this. I'm like, the cops can't prevent me. Don't protect me from getting punched, but they're going to pull me over and give me a ticket for speeding. It's like, it is that kind of, I kind of can see, but I agree with Robin a little bit, right? I don't know that I'd go support the cops again. I know most of them are good, but it's like, come on, give me a break. And thank God for that lieutenant who said, no, we're not retreating. He said, literally on Peter's show, people could get killed if we leave. And it's clear Chief Payson didn't care, right? As long as it was the right people who got killed and not the wrong people. Just like Chuck, that girl I saw, remember back when all of this started, there was a video of a young woman in a car, and the Antifa thugs had blocked the intersection. They were climbing on her car, and she backed away, and then she hit one. She didn't hurt him, but she hit one, right? Well, guess what? They arrested some of the Antifa thugs, but Beth McCann released them all, right? They all got released, but they're charging that woman. They're charging her, right? So they can't. They searched through their video. They tracked her.
Screw the Denver DA. Screw the St. Louis DA. In fact, screw the whole system. I mean, it's been taken over by the left, and they are our mortal enemies. That's what they are. They are not our political opponents. They are our mortal enemies.
I was talking with a girlfriend of mine yesterday, and she's had a lot of stuff going on in her personal life. Somebody just said, this is from Sandra. She agrees with you, Chuck. Sometimes Sandra agrees with me too, though. But my friend was saying she's had a lot of stuff going on, and I was kind of telling her about this. And she said, Julie, she said, that's just not really in my world right now. Yeah. And I said, and I won't say her name, but I'm like, you know what? It is in your world. This is your world. I said, and anyone who thinks that you can just ignore this and that it's not going to affect you. It is. I mean, this is why crime is skyrocketing across the country, right? If they know they can vandalize the state capitol and nothing's going to happen to them, if they can punch me, if they can, hit people like Ron and nothing's going to happen to them, nothing even tries to happen to them, right? Then they can rob, they can burglarize, they can shoot. What were there? Were like 14 people shot at a funeral in Chicago like last night. Why this is why this is happening. And I understand everybody's got their own comfort level of how they like to get involved. But I think, man, you got to be paying attention to this. And to just say, well, that doesn't really affect me.
The storm is coming for you.
That's right. Hey, we got two.
If you thought the Nazis in 1930, hey, I don't need to worry about this, or the Bolsheviks, I don't need to worry about this. You need to worry about it. I promise
That's
you.
Right. Let me ask you, we've only got about 2 minutes left. You going to tell folks about Synagenix? I have the number. Okay. All right. So, yes, Synod Genetics, one of our other sponsors, 720-387-3681. They can help develop a physical program for you that, as it did for Chuck, will change your life. Talk to Dr. Julie McCallum. Gives a free consultation. Check them out online, synodgenics.com, and that's CENEGENICS.com. Hey, I want to thank, we had a packed show today, and I want to thank our guys at BBS, Don and Doug and Thomas, if he's there. We had everybody on Zoom. I want to thank everybody for listening to us on Zoom. Thank our other sponsor, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. And remember, you can always catch the podcast at ChuckandJulie.com. Would love to have you go to our YouTube channel, Chuck and Julie, and Chuck and Julie Show. Just go to YouTube, you'll find it, and subscribe. If we get enough people, we can go live on YouTube from events like that, which is, that would be just super cool. So I want to let people know that. But thank you. Thank you to everyone for listening and for calling, and we'll see you on Party Friday.
See everybody on Party Friday.